Well, how about declaring a little bit more glory unto Jesus Christ? I know you agree there's nobody like him. This may not have been the best week, but you can still declare his glory, can't you? May not feel the greatest right now, but he is glorious. He's victorious. In Jesus Christ, we have victory. And that's what faith is all about. We declare his glory. Aren't you glad to know an all-powerful God today? And to truly know him this season of the year when so many people are doing good things and talking in good ways, but I'm glad we truly know who he is and the purpose of him being in our lives. Would you declare glory to him one more time before you're seated? Let's thank him together. There is none like you. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Just want to reiterate a couple of things that were said earlier. Number one, we're so thankful for all of our guests that are here today. Thankful that you came this Christmas season to be with us. And also, I'm sure you were paying attention to prayer request time. You noted that we're praying for our own pastor. He had some outpatient surgery on Tuesday. Intended to be here, but just thought it wise to stay in and heal up just a little bit more. So he's doing well. Just continue to keep him in prayer. And if you're a guest and haven't met our pastor, we're rather proud of him and his family. So we want you to come on back and meet our pastor, hear him preach sometime in the future. Amen. Now, those of you that pay attention to details probably have noticed that we didn't take the offering today, did we? Isn't that great? They're itching to give, Brother Spall. Brother Spall didn't lose his mind. He purposely did that. And the reason being is for several weeks now, we have been announcing that today would be the wrap-up of our Christmas blessing offering, which is what we've been doing annually to be a blessing to individuals and families of our own congregation at this time of year, perhaps some unemployed or just needing help in other ways. And so this is our way of helping those in our own congregation. And if you have already given your Christmas blessing offering, thank you so much. I know you could have done that at any time. If you have and got a little bit more to give and find it in your heart to do so, just grab an envelope and write on their Christmas blessing, and it'll be all the more blessing. If you had tended to give but didn't bring it today, don't panic. You could bring it tonight or in one of the upcoming services. But we are trying to get as much as possible today for the simple reason we want to start distributing this in the coming week so that the people we're blessing will truly be blessed before Christmas. So if you can at all do that. And I didn't even think of this, but our very quick-witted treasurer, Mr. Linda Clark, said she'd be out in the foyer with a square, whatever that thing is. They hooked that up to a phone or something. Is that right, Brad? You're a millennial. You swipe it? Oh, I swipe it. Will it go on her phone or does it go to us, the church? Does she get the money or do we get the money? You got to watch these people. No, I'm kidding. It's all set up for the church. Relax, guest. I'm just having a little fun. Okay, please. But she will have that if you don't. I know the millennial generation, you don't carry cash, do you? So go out there and swipe like there's no tomorrow. But this really is the season of celebration. Just to update you, this past we had our Bible study on Wednesday on the Gospel of Matthew. And then we're coming up, the Gospel of Mark, Christmas according to it, coming up Wednesday. And then Luke in 2 weeks, a couple Wednesdays from now. John, as I mentioned, Wednesday gets left out because it'll be after Christmas, the last Wednesday. Plus, did you announce we're not having service on Wednesday? No Wednesday here, service here on December 26th in observance of our Christmas holiday. So that's another reason John got left out. But Thursday night, our ladies got together, had over 60 people here celebrating Christmas, and they had a wonderful time of celebration. We're glad for that. And then the next night, all this happened right here. The next night, the deaf ministry had about 40 people, and there were some who don't even attend our church from the deaf ministry. So they had a time of outreach as well as celebrating Christmas. Last night, our Spanish church, Feliz Navidad, had like 75, did I say that right, Sister Carlin? Feliz Navidad. I'm learning Spanish, as you can tell. I think, does that mean Merry Christmas? No, it means happy Christmas, or not happy Christmas, right? I look to my interpreters over here. I'm learning Spanish, not really. What was I saying? 75 people were here, and they had a great time. You didn't do a piñata or anything, did you? No, okay, very good, just checking. But they had a wonderful, and then this morning, our Sunday school classes, except for the Bible class, had their parties for Christmas, and they were out there enjoying. So it's been quite a time. In fact, I told some of the kids when I was in Sunday school, I was lucky to get Kool-Aid and a cookie There was personal chefs preparing waffles and pancakes for the preschool class. The boys' class had ribs, smoky sausages, and pizza bites or rolls, whatever they're called. I'm telling you, we are in a blessed day, are we not? These kids, they got it rough, don't they? And then, to top it all off, when you leave today, thanks to Sister Mary Brewer's coordination and Sister Shirley Brown's hard work, we have a little treat for you from all the Sunday school out in the foyer, a candy cane or two, and everybody likes a candy cane this time of year. And if you can't have candy, give it to someone who can, but certainly that's just a little treat from us. So all that to say, we are definitely in the midst of Christmas. I haven't quite turned the corner. I've not listened to Christmas music yet. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I got to get started, I know. But having said that, I hope this little message today can fit into the festive mood that obviously is around this place. Luke chapter 2, if you don't mind standing for this passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Luke 2 and 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I think you would agree that the greatest expression of goodwill to mankind is the gift of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote to Titus and said that when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, God revealed, in essence, a plan of salvation. Jesus appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's goodwill. That's kindness. That is compassion. And I know you're grateful for it. Would you offer an expression of your thanksgiving for the goodwill that we find in Jesus Christ, his salvation? Lord, we thank you so much for grace and mercy that brought this plan of salvation to us. Thank you for your word that instructs us all about it, and for this place that we have set aside to give you thanks and worship today. And we ask, Lord, in your name, that you would let your blessing be upon our hearts now as we hear well your word, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. And if I didn't explicitly say it in all my excitement, we're going to take the offering at the end of this message. So we'll give you a chance to give after all that. Today, from this phrase, goodwill toward men, I'm going to preach this message to you. Let's keep goodwill in business. Let's keep goodwill in business. I think this is my very first title slide, isn't it? At least a fancy one like that. Don't you love it? Let's keep goodwill in business. Where are all my goodwill shoppers? Come on. All right. Well, I don't necessarily shop there because I'm in the season of life where I'm giving them things. In fact, we may have a box in the car right now, don't we, that goes to Goodwill. We need to get that turned in for the end of the year, get credit, right? No. But, yeah, I'm donating, but I know we shop there. In fact, I should point out, I have a Goodwill tie on this morning. I'll take my jacket off so you can see it. Some of you might think it's a bib, but it's a tie. The style of the day, right? See that? It's a Goodwill tie. What are you doing? Oh, you scared me for a minute. Thought maybe you didn't like Goodwill ties or wanted it. But anyway, and I have to give special thanks to Bailey Wright, who purchased this for me. Well, she got it for me, I'll say it that way. She actually had another one in mind, but I went the more conservative approach. The other one had cartoons and, was it Paisley's on there or something? I don't know. But she and her mother graciously stopped by. I don't know that it was this one, but a Goodwill store picked up this tie so I would have it to wear today. And with my coat off, I thought about switching from Roy Rogers to Mr. Rogers and put a sweater on, but I won't do that. Hey, where'd my jacket go? But I think it only right that this tie at the end of the message go to one of our young ministers. So, Brad, I'm going to have you help me here. I've got a name of a minister on these cards, and if you'd kind of fan these out like you're playing Old Maid or whatever. I'm going to pick one. We'll see who it is. Let's see. I'm going to go right here. Which one? Oh, upside down. Turn it. Peter Wright. Is he in the house? There he is. All right. After church, this tie belongs. And it's kind of fitting, right? Because he's your uncle, right? Is that right, Uncle Peter? All right, I call him St. Peter, but you want to see the other cards? No, 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 no. What do you think I am? So you'll get this after the service. It'll have full anointing on it from my message, etc. You might want to cut it in half longwise. I don't know. But I didn't know much about Goodwill, but I learned back in 1902, a man by the name of Edgar J. Helms, and I think we have a picture of him. He was a Methodist minister who lived in the Boston area and pastored there. He started Goodwill as a part of his ministry. What Helms and his congregation would do was go around to some of the wealthier areas of Boston, and they would collect used goods and other items of clothing that they were going to dispose of. And then he trained and hired workers to mend the clothes or repair the items that had been donated. And he hired people who were unemployed or impoverished to do those things. And the products were then redistributed to people in need, or sometimes they would actually be given to the ones who did the repair work themselves. And the system worked, obviously. I think I didn't do the math, but it's well over 115 years now, I think, Goodwill has been in business. And keeping Goodwill in business, and I'll say literally keeping Goodwill in business, serves a very good purpose because of its mission to help others. And I think there's another slide there just showing some of the earlier years when they were getting started helping others. That's, you can read their mission on their website, but in effect, that's what it's all about, helping others. And I think there's something to be said about keeping them in business in a literal way. Coincidentally, George H.W. Bush, our 41st president, was laid to rest this past week. I'd been planning this message for some time. In fact, originally I was going to preach it next week, but the schedule changed with pastor's surgery. And on August 18th, 1988, George H.W. Bush received his party's nomination. And in his acceptance speech, he went on to win that, of course, and served a term. But in his acceptance speech, he called for a kinder, gentler nation. And I'm sure he didn't have this literally in mind, but in effect what he was saying was, let's keep goodwill in business. Goodwill toward men. And what is the meaning of goodwill? Well, I would submit it takes on all kinds of forms. In commerce or retail, a goodwill is an intangible benefit that arises from the reputation of a business and its relationship with its customers. It's separate and apart from the monetary value of the business. You know, if you have a business, and some of you do, having goodwill in the community, and you can garner that in a variety of ways, is real important. And I'm proud that one of our own young people here at this church demonstrated goodwill on her job. Mary Beth Wright, another Wright, how's this happening? Mary Beth Wright works at Ann Taylor, is that right? Ann Taylor, and that's why she's always in the well-tailored outfits. See what I did there? Well-tailored. Okay. All right. You got it, Mary? Okay. Sometimes you don't always catch on, so I had to make... Ooh, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I love Mary Beth. Everyone loves Mary Beth. But she was working at her West County store, and a lady came in fact, later sent an email about her experience. She said she wasn't having a very good day, has lupus, and was in a lot of pain. And while waiting to pick up her granddaughter from school, she decided to go in and look for a clothing item. It was in a color that wasn't very popular, but nevertheless, she was still trying to find it. And so she went in the store, in her words, not expecting much. Mary waited on her like she would any other customer. And the lady said, in her words, I reluctantly said yes. I guess she figured it really wasn't going to amount to much. But Mary looked around the store, couldn't find the item, but then looked on the computer without being asked and realized by inventory that there was... that this item was in the store somewhere, and so she searched, found it. The lady said that then she helped her apply for a credit card to save money, wished me well, ended our transaction by giving me a hug. Now, isn't that the Mary Beth that we know? Giving her a hug. And then, here's, I'll read this part. Not only did she help me find the exact item I was looking for, but she made me feel like a valued customer. I left your store feeling much better than I did when I entered. And that, to me, is goodwill. That's one of the ways that we show goodwill toward others. And, of course, that's driven, in our case, by a Christ-like spirit. And I'm thankful that our outlet students as a whole, this too is totally by coincidence, but this Wednesday, they have a good deeds night plan where they're going to be writing notes to people, assembling care packages, taking them out to others. And so I'm just thankful that goodwill is not lost on today's generation, aren't you? Thankful. In fact, we ought to give them a great hand. The outlet students, YPB, our youth pastor, leading them. His wife, Mariah. Little Mila. Where is little Mila? Mila's not in the house. She must have known I was preaching. But I'm thankful. I truly am. I'm having a little fun. But I am very, very thankful that our youth, being kind and gracious, is not lost on them. And the good news is that anybody can show goodwill. You don't just have to be a young person. Doesn't matter the amount of money you have, your gender or your nationality, race, social status. You don't have to have a specific talent or even any training to be able to show goodwill. But if candid, I think we would say that sometimes showing goodwill isn't always what we want to do, right? Or it isn't always what comes naturally. William Shakespeare coined this term, the milk of human kindness. And it was his way of describing the natural kindness or sympathy that we have toward other people. And frankly, some of us, I think, have a little bit more of that than others. Or to put that another way, some of us are a little more quick to show that kindness or to show that goodwill. It's not that we perhaps don't have it, but others are a little more quick to show that. And if I could insert right here this little thought, and you can take it for what it's worth, if it's not your tendency to be the first in line, so to speak, to show goodwill, please don't be discouraged by that or beat yourself up, okay? Don't be too hard on yourself. We all have differing temperaments and we all have differing backgrounds in which we were raised, and all those things influence us. I'll say this, the important thing is make the effort to keep goodwill in business. Whether you're the first to offer it or not, just go ahead and be sure you make the effort to put goodwill or keep it in business. Colossians 3:12 tells us this. It's a directive of Scripture. The Apostle Paul writing to the church there in Coloss, and by extension us. Note what he says there. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. I think all of those things add up to goodwill, don't you? And he says, he instructs us, put it on. I have a grandson who doesn't like to wear a coat. One reason is because he's hot-natured. And two, because, especially outer coats, he doesn't like all the bulk that comes with it. And so there are many times he has to be told, put on a coat, especially in the cold weather, because he just doesn't naturally want to do that. And when being kind and showing goodwill isn't something that we want to do or that we do naturally, I'll say it this way. Think of it as putting on a coat. Call it your goodwill coat. That be all right? You put this way over here where I have to walk a mile. I know you meant well. He expressed goodwill, didn't he? But think of it. Seriously, if you have to, and maybe it's a little mental game, but if you're in a situation where you really don't want to be so nice, Paul said, put it on. Put on kindness. Put on the goodwill. Put on this expression that you have. And you've got to do it. There might be times, for those of you that don't know, I work with Brad DeLong here in the office throughout the week and get to be blessed with him. And there might be times when I want to punch him in the nose. But first of all, I remember he's bigger than me. Then I remember he makes the coffee on the mornings. I don't know what he puts in it, but he makes my coffee. And so in those times, if I'm going to be nice to him, I have to put on my goodwill coat, don't I? And in those situations where you're not necessarily feeling like being gracious or expressing goodwill, just think of it as putting on the coat. It is something that you decide to do, that you decide to be nice. Goodwill is deliberate. We choose kind words, don't we? They may not be coming up to the surface naturally, but we choose kind words. We choose kind actions, and so we have to be deliberate about it. In fact, that's how the Bible says we're supposed to treat enemies. Do you know what Proverbs says when you have an enemy? It says, give him something to eat when he's hungry. When he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And Jesus said in what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. So we keep goodwill in business by purposely offering it, by putting on our goodwill coat or our goodwill sweater or whatever you want to call it. But mentally, you sometimes have to remind yourself, I've got to put this on. It's the Word of God. It's a directive that I, as a Christian, should do. I've got to follow it even when I don't want to. And learning how to do that, learning how to show goodwill, I think is best captured in the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. This is in the midst of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says in Matthew 7 and verse 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We often refer to this verse as the golden rule, and oftentimes the clear path to know how to treat someone with goodwill is revealed by simply asking, how would I want to be treated in this situation? How would I want to be treated in this relationship? And the answer that you come up with, that's what you should do to others. How do you want to be treated? How do you want to be dealt with in a certain situation? That's how you should treat others. And when you treat others as you want to be treated, you're keeping goodwill in business, which is what God wants us to do. Galatians 6:10, the Apostle Paul says this, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We're to do good to all and to do it as we have opportunity. Do good to everybody, not just family, not just neighbors, not just people who are fellow citizens in our country, but when there's an opportunity, we are to do good to all. And of course, that's not to say that you can't create an opportunity. Opportunities come along, but you could even work on creating them. Back in 1982, there was a phrase, some lady wrote it down, Ann Herbert wrote it on a placemat in Sausalito, California. She said, practice random kindness and senseless acts of beauty. It was in response to the phrase she had been hearing about random acts of violence and senseless acts of cruelty. And she thought, rather than there be random violence, why not random kindness? And a movement was born. It's still going. In fact, if you don't know, February 17th is the National Random Acts of Kindness Day. But we're not limited to February 17th, are we? And you don't have to have a reason to be kind or to show goodwill. You don't have to wait for an opportunity. You can create one. For example, let's just think of something at random here. When Marlene Protzman gets off her phone. No, I'm kidding. You're taking notes, I know. When she bakes cookies, she could just randomly set a few aside for her associate pastor. She wouldn't have, just random. Oh, yeah, Pastor Reaver, he would like a few cookies. You could just set them aside, see? Now go back to your phone. You could randomly pick up litter, especially do that around the church. We bless you, don't we, Brother Chambers? Thank you for doing that. You could wash someone's car, shovel snow, rake leaves. You could let somebody go in front of you in line. Ooh, that's a nice one, huh? Especially if you're in a hurry, just kind of pull back the reins and say, why don't you go ahead and smile at them? All kinds of ways. You don't need me to help you in that area, but all kinds of ways to show goodwill. But the point is, you can not just wait for opportunities to come your way, but you can even create them. Scott Adams said this, remember, there is no such thing as a small act of kindness. Every act creates a ripple with no logical end. You just don't know where a small act of kindness is going to go, who it's going to reach, who it might affect. 2 or 3, 5, 6 people on down the line because you did that. But whether you're creating an opportunity or recognizing opportunity, let's keep goodwill in business. And I'll tell you why, because everybody needs it. Everybody needs it. J.M. Barrie, who wrote the highly imaginative story of Peter Pan, wrote this, be kinder than necessary because everyone you meet is fighting some kind of battle. Be kinder than necessary. And I don't mean to be pessimistic, but generally, if you'll think about it, it's pretty true that just about everybody has some kind of challenge. It varies, the degree and all that, but just about everybody has an irritation or a battle of some kind going on to one degree or another. And so being aware of that, I think, can help motivate us to be kinder than we might ordinarily be or kinder than we think is warranted, because back in our minds we can realize, I don't know what this person is going through, and if I'm just a little kinder than I might ordinarily be, it could just make their day or turn things around. And so recognizing that is important. But there are times, and I want to mention a couple of them, times especially when people need kindness. One of them is when tragedy strikes. It's sad but true, but tragedy does strike our lives, doesn't it? And when it does, it takes its toll on our emotions. It can even make the most solid of Christians begin to doubt, question. And if you're in that situation, again, I encourage you, don't be hard on yourself. You're human. And if you're going through a tough time and your faith is rattled and shaken and you've got questions and you can't figure it all out, please don't be too hard on yourself. You're normal. But recognize that there is a God who knows what's going on in your life. There's a God who's very much aware, and he's in your corner. And I'd like to say there's also people in your corner too. And sometimes in tragedy, I know we're prone not to do anything because we, quote unquote, don't know what to say. Anybody been there? Somebody going through a tough time, I just don't know what to say, and so you don't say anything. But if I could encourage you, even though your words may seem hollow, go ahead and offer them anyway. Share some scriptures, point to the future, perhaps just best of all, be there for that individual or that family when they're going through a tragedy, because they especially need goodwill in a time like that. And another time that people need goodwill is when they stumble into sin. And again, sad but true, but we all make mistakes, amen? And when somebody stumbles into sin, that's not the time to turn away, is it? That's the time to go rushing in. That's the time to be there. Don't be harsh or judgmental or critical, but be kind. Show goodwill. Because when you help somebody who's stumbling into sin, you're not approving of their sin. You're just helping them get back to their feet so they can try again. And I, for one, am so thankful for family and friends and pastoral leadership in my past who have helped me get back to my feet. I remember Pastor Black. Some of you remember him. He died toward the December 28th back in 78. Was my pastor through my teen years. I can remember after my going through a very difficult time. It was on a Sunday night that I straightened things out of my life and was renewed in the spirit. And by that, we had a Tuesday night service in those years, Tuesday and Thursday midweek service. I remember him bringing me to the pulpit on a Tuesday night and putting his big old arm around my shoulder and having me standing there, and I was nervous and shy and all that, but he was telling the congregation, he said, I had some people encourage me to give up on Nathan. He's just gone too far, done too much. He's not going to ever turn his life around, but he kind of gave me that little hug with that arm around. He said, but I wasn't going to. I wasn't going to let go. I wasn't going to give up. I'm thankful for people who come rushing in, not running away when we stumble into sin. That's when we need goodwill. That's when we need kindness, particularly. In Ephesians 4:32, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Ephesians 4:32, the Apostle Paul writes, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. If Jesus Christ has forgiven you, then you have every reason to forgive others, right? Every reason to be forgiving with others. In fact, if you'd be willing, right where you're seated, you may know somebody who stumbled and fallen and strayed. I wonder if you just stretch a hand toward heaven. You don't have to call the name out loud, but God knows your heart. Let's pray right now that God will be an encouragement to that individual. Lord Jesus, you see hands lifted all through this congregation, and I've got several in my mind. I'm not going to call them out through the microphone, but you know the individuals and where they are right now, and I just pray that in kindness and goodwill, let your goodness lead them to repentance. Let something be said or done to help these people think about you today and think about their need of you, Lord Jesus. Let kindness and love be shown to them, either by us or others that they'll encounter. And above all, let your love be expressed to them. I pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as you have forgiven us, for Christ's sake. I'm glad that there's goodwill still in business. Goodwill still in business. And I close this message with perhaps the greatest example of goodwill from one person to another. Jesus shared it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Said there was a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and on the way he was attacked by thieves. They took what valuables he had, wounded him, so it wasn't just taking what he had, but they physically hurt him and left him lying on the road, Jesus said, half dead. A priest came along and saw him, but instead of helping, passed by to the other side and went on his way. And it said he came by chance. It was an opportunity, but he just passed and went on by. Later, a Levite came by chance and saw him, but he crossed to the other side and went on his way. But then a Samaritan came along, saw him, and had compassion and bound up his wounds, took him to a nearby inn, watched him through the night. And then when he had to leave the next morning, gave money to the proprietor and said, take care of this man. And when I come back this way, if you have to spend more than what I'm leaving, I will settle with you. I'm good for it. I'll take care of whatever amount you have to spend for his care. And reading that story, in fact, I remember as a little kid having one of those Archway books about the Good Samaritan. In fact, Lois Holt might as well have read it to me. That she was the closest thing this blue collar kid ever had to a nanny, always taking care of me. And I remember her having sleepovers, and she'd read books to me. And I wouldn't doubt that this one got read to me by her. And I got the message right away. You know, we're supposed to help each other because Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. But it wasn't until I was older that I started realizing that the priest and the Levite were fellow countrymen. If anybody should have stopped to help, it should have been them. These were fellow Jews, and they should have had compassion, and they had the opportunity, like Paul had written, as we therefore have opportunity, do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. But they just passed on by. And the Samaritan, those people were at odds with the Jews. There was ill will there. And so if anybody had been not blamed, I guess you'd say, for going on by, it would have been the Samaritan. If anybody was not expected to stop, it would have been him. But he stopped to help this man. And Jesus tells us that we ought to do likewise. That we ought to do likewise. Do good to all men, but especially unto those who are of the household of faith. And today, I've purposely wrapped up this message. And I know it's been a little bit different, but I hope that you have caught the spirit and tone of this. We need to keep goodwill in business. We need to keep goodwill in business. And we're going to, in a moment here, invite our ushers to come and give you a chance. If you've already given in the Christmas blessing offering, that's fine. And this is for your normal tithes and offerings as well. But if you have a little extra, you can give it. You need to mark it that way so we know. If you are bringing it later, that's fine. And certainly, as Linda pointed out, she's got the means for you to give electronically later if you choose to do that. But I'd like for our ushers to come, if they would. This morning, we're going to be people of goodwill today.